A writer posited this question. Do you know what would have happened if it had been three wise women instead of three wise men? One, they would have asked for directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, brought practical gifts, and there'd be peace on earth. And I would offer that last one, peace on earth, until they decided to redecorate the nativity or to move the furniture. The three wise men are certainly an interesting story for us. There are those that, of course, in scripture scholarship that would posit it to be a legend. But there are others that would find great substance to the fact that there were the Magi. There were these individuals who were kind of driven, drawn to seek the interpretations that was given basically in the heavens, the stars. And so it is not far-fetched to think that there would be individuals that would suddenly recognize that a great event occurred. Now, most of us take Epiphany as part of the Christmas season, and we celebrate liturgically Epiphany, and we move from one that time to the baptism of the Lord and continue on. But in many of the traditions of the church, this was even more important than Christmas. And I say this to you because we have to realize that at Christmas was the fulfillment of the prophets of the Old Testament for the Messiah to come. And incarnationally, God becomes one with us through his Son. But in the Feast of the Magi, the Epiphany, it's the proclamation that this person of Jesus belongs to all of us, to the whole world, the universality of the teaching of the church. And that's why Epiphany is so important, because it really is our celebration. It really is our acceptance of this Christ who has come into the world. That's why in many traditions, gifts are not given at Christmas, gifts are given at Epiphany. Because they celebrate that fact, that the ultimate gift has been given from God, and now that gift is to be shared. But let's take a look at the wonderful aspect of the Magi. And let's take a look at those wonderful gifts. We all realize it's gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we know that they symbolize gold, obviously wealth, kingly power. Frankincense, you know, the sense of the divine, power, wealth, power. And the last, myrrh, was a sign of the special personage that would be anointed at his death. Myrrh. Wealth, power, and prestige. That which the world seeks, that's what the world, you know, take a look at most individuals who strive for, they strive for one of those three things. And yet it was laid at the feet of a child who was dressed in swaddling clothes, was absolutely poor. Now, the interesting thing about when we think in terms of nativity, thanks to St. Francis, we have the nativity and the beautiful kind of stable scene with the animals and stuff. But if you go to Bethlehem, you actually understand and know that the nativity probably took place more in a hewn-out cave. And when you go to see the site of the nativity, you've got to bend down, you've got to stoop in order to go in to the area that claims to be, you know, the place where Jesus was born. Interesting, when we take a look at our relationship with the Lord, you have to stoop before you go in. You have to bow before you approach Jesus. I think that one of the fallacies that we have in our spirituality, in the sense of it, is we kind of treat Jesus as an equal. We hear immediately, boom, my friendship with the Lord. I look eyeball to eyeball with God. You know, that's a wonderful aspect, but it can only occur if you accept God first on God's terms. You cannot call yourself basically a friend of Jesus unless you accept Jesus in who and what he is. Once you do the acceptance, then it allows you to stand straight and to embrace the friendship of God in your life. But oftentimes, it's accepting God on our terms, not on God's terms. Oftentimes, it is saying, this is what I want from you, God, this is what I need from you, rather than saying, what do you demand of me? If we're approaching somebody who is truly an important personage, we approach them, first of all, in gratitude, in thanksgiving that we have the ability to be in their presence. Think about an important person that you've met in your life. Take anyone, a popular figure, a well-known political figure. You are elevated by the mere fact that you are in their presence. You feel uplifted. And you're grateful for the fact that suddenly this person is standing next to you or arm around you or calling you your friend. I remember the first time that I met John Paul II. It was at the North American College on the feast day of George Washington's birthday. He decided to visit the college, and all the American scholars were introduced to him individually. And when I had this meeting with John Paul II, I was introduced to him. And you felt that you were in the presence of greatness. Now, 3 years earlier, you could have met Karol Wojtyła as Cardinal of Krakow, and you could have thought nothing of it. But here was the person who was occupying the office of Peter. There was an elevation. There was an elevation in my mind. There was an elevation that I was now there in the presence of the Pope. And the Pope, in his wonderful personal style, reached his arm around me and threw his arm around me. Now, never in my mind did I, as a kid from the southeast side of Chicago, ever think that the Pope would have his arm around me. I have treasured that picture to this very day, because when he is going to be named a saint and canonized, because his arm is around me, I become a second-class relic in the church. But literally, being in the presence of that power and that personage elevates you. Here were three kings already, or three magi, already of personal power. And yet they bowed down before this poor infant, recognizing this power that gave them their power. When we take a look at the travels of the Magi in order to get there, what's hidden in there is the search in every one of us for the presence and the power of God in the world. I would tell you immediately that although the Epiphany is celebrated as an event of the three kings coming to Christ, we as also kings, Gentiles, continue to seek out Christ and to proclaim him in the world. We continue to go to Bethlehem. We continue to recognize Jesus in the poorest of the poor. We continue to celebrate that dignity of human life from conception to natural death. That is so important in our minds, because in doing so, we understand the great gift of the incarnation. We take that gift with us. You know, the three kings were never heard of after that event. They were never heard of after that. They become part of the legend of the church. Later they receive names. They even receive descriptions. Do we know whether those are true or not? Could be, and perhaps not. But we do know that the message of the three kings continues on. And how does it continue on? It continues on in the recognition of the person of Jesus Christ, who is here always celebrated among us. Always. And that is the personal journey that each and every one of us has. Who here in this church has not come to worship frankincense? Who here in this church does not share what they have? Gold. Who here does not know that their death approaches and they will stand before God? Myrrh. Who here in this church does not find the answer to the eternal mystery of the questions of life in the person of Jesus? I love the one gift of myrrh because it's a reminder of death. It's a reminder of death because in that sense of myrrh, the body was anointed upon death. Jesus was taken down from the cross, and thanks to Joseph of Arimathea and the wonderful women of Jerusalem, he was anointed before he was placed in the tomb. And if you remember, they were going to administer the continuing anointings on the day of his resurrection. When we think in terms of that, we realize there's already an anticipation of the fact that this person who comes into the world will suffer for us. Better, will suffer with us. And in that suffering is an ultimate sign of God's love for us. We forget that. We forget that God loves us so much that he's willing to lay down his life for us. We celebrate his coming into the world. We hold him dear and we profess him. Like the three kings, we celebrate the fact that he came not just for the Jews, but he came for all of us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.